Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience and our radio audience around the nation and around the world. God is doing some amazing, amazing things. If you missed our earlier program, you need to get a perspective of a crying out for justice with Pastor Cy E. Remember, we're four programs back to back. If you missed any, you can catch them at VFNTV.com, get download our app or whatever. But we want to keep in a continual conversation with you with that, because we got to have a perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. The reason why is because God's going to hold you accountable. God is going to hold each of us accountable. We stand alone before God. And that's how you can just be confident that you're just doing what you can with what God has entrusted to you, and you're being faithful. And one thing that we want to do, and the Lord's really spoken to us about this, that, you know, stay in relationship with us. We'll stay in relationship with you as long as the Lord will allow us, and say, you know what, let's continue this broadcast around the nation and around the world. But he's shown us some very hopeful things. And if we will trust him in this, and if we will believe him and begin to speak these things out while getting our heart, it's not like a default setting, like we can stay in rebellion and stay in sin and continue to, you know, all these wrong things, and it's going to happen. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and turn and pray to God, he says, listen, he'll hear and he'll change things. And I believe he's going to change things regionally. He's going to change things state by state. So you can be in a state that's lost their state of mind, the original intent, or you can be in a city that's lost their state of mind, and you can say, you know what, this particular city is like the city that Lot was in, so I'm going to find me another city under a man or a woman of God who loves God, who hears from God, and I'm going to plant myself right there, and that's where me and my family are going to sow, we're going to be faithful to God. We're going to pray God for that, pray that God would cover us in the context of that and speak to us, and we're going to obey God in that. And maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFM Dream Center is for you. Truly, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Our hope, and we are hearing the Lord, as many are, and our goal is just to communicate that to you so you could be all that God has called you to be. And find out more at VFNDreamCenter.com, VFNDreamCenter.com for more details on that. You can join us virtually or join us on the Gulf Coast. We are located in the Pensacola area, but also reaching around the nation and the world with it's exciting. What God is doing. We call it the dream because it's what God said, and we're just doing what he said, and it's amazing how that's taken. That's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to you right now. God said it. We're just doing it.
That's right.
Just doing what God said. In the context of that, we're going to be talking today in this program about Ariel Sharon has passed, and he was an awesome leader. But also significant about him is he was part of fighting for Israel's independence and becoming a nation, and they kept him alive for 6 to 8 years. And all of a sudden now, of all the times they decided, okay, now's the time, he's been in a coma all this time, is to just let him go. And they honored him, and he's passed. But, you know, what does that mean? Because Israel's surrounded again today the way it was back then. And it's like, we need another Ariel Sharon to rise up, another David to rise up and say, you know, this is what's taking place. So I encourage you, if you have not yet begin to pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the protection of Israel. Because God says if you bless Israel, he'll bless you. In addition to that, by supporting VFN TV and VFN Radio, we stand with Israel. We try to give the church and those that are our listeners a perspective, a God perspective of Israel. God began to just reveal over time to us. My call was received where I am today in Tiberias when I was by the side of the Galilee. Lord just began to speak to me about the future and what was going to happen about 4 o'clock in the morning, and it looks exactly like what he had said was going to happen. And against your will, it's like, no, I don't want this to take place. And it's like, okay, God, whatever, you know, whatever you want to take place in the context of that. And hopefully we'll get into the roller coaster word. John's going to be reading a word from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, how he had a dream. And then that God showed him a roller coaster. And, you know, if you really trust God, you're seeing those people that can ride roller coasters and hold their hands straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to be. We got to be. Think about it. Who?
You. You oh, yeah. You can do that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. I used to could. But that's how we have to be in the middle of this roller coaster this year. We got to be holding our hands up, praising God in this whole ride. Trust that he's going to hold us in the seat. He's going to hold us in our place. But don't get fearful like Pat and hold on to the little, you know, seatbelt thing and check all the bolts and the nuts and stuff like that. Make sure it's working. But just hang on. Hold your hands up and just say, yeah, I'm going to praise God through this year, because understand it comes to pass, which means this. It came and it passed. If you can hold on, I mean, God can take you through anything. And this is a year. This is a year that everything that can be shaken, based on what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what Rick Joyner's confirming and others are confirming, Pat Robinson confirmed, we were just hearing this choral sound that it's going to begin. As a matter of fact, the four blood moons begin in April on tax day. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So when you're crying, going to the mailbox because on the night of April, the whatever, the 14th or 15th, I don't know, 15th, and you're going to, you know, send your money to Jehoiakim, that realize that this is something that happened because we, the church, turned away from the Lord. But we say, you know what? I don't want this anymore. I want to turn back to God, and God would begin to restore things back to us again. So we got so many things we're going to talk about when we get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Dad, you've got a special role in your daughter's life. With Focus on the Family Minute, this is John Fuller. Dr. Kevin Lehman shares how you can communicate your love to your daughter in a way that she feels it.
He affirms her femininity, number one. He affirms the fact that she's a little girl, you know, and he takes time to listen to her. Now, women use 2.5, 3.5 times the number of words that we men use in a given day or week. With women, you got to be patient. You have to listen. They have a need to talk, to share. Most men aren't real big on that. Most men thrive on arm's length relationships. But the last thing your daughter needs from you, gentlemen, is an arm's length relationship.
It may be uncomfortable. Okay, it will be uncomfortable, but you can connect with your little girl, and it'll be worth the effort. Learn more about that daddy-daughter relationship from Dr. Lehman today on FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you. But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome, John and Pat are joining us. We're going to be talking about the this prophetic word roller coaster, but it just makes me think of something like
trouble. Trouble, bad dog in my school since the day I was born. Worry, 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 worry. Worry just will not seem to leave my mind alone.
Well, let me tell you that. You are serving the Lord. You have no troubles. You have no worries. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and you've made money your God and you've been holding on to things and stuff.
Trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble.
Because what the Lord's about to do, he's about to lay to rest. So many things that have gotten in our way. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, I mean, he's going to play taps on a lot of these strongholds. It's time for this to end. And in the context of this, the church is going to arise. Awake, O sleeper, awake. Awaken to your call, to your destiny. Rise up, men and women, warriors of God, mighty ones. Today is your day. Awake, O sleeper, awake. It is time. Listen to this prophetic word because this is what it's all about. Don't be dismayed. Realize, though this year is going to be, it's a journey to filter out and to bring us all back to a place of redemption and a place at the cross. Listen, this is Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries as John's reading this word to us.
It's entitled The Vision of a Roller Coaster. This is Rick speaking. When I prayed for this coming year, I was shown a roller coaster. This means we will have ups and downs this year. I realized that hardly takes a prophet to predict. But the encouraging thing about this vision was that the ride ended at the highest point. We're going higher this year. So don't be discouraged by the dips. Hang on and know that we will be going up again soon. Our prophetic friend Bob Jones told us several months ago that it was going to be a very hard winter. I think this one has already qualified for that. As I am writing this in South Carolina, it is 8 degrees outside. I don't remember it ever being cold here. However, the great thing is that spring will certainly follow. The point is that we must hang on during any dips or hard times. They will come to pass, but they will pass. As Winston Churchill once said, when you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. The roller coaster I saw was a very rickety. It did not seem that it could make it through another turn or the ups or the downs. It held together, though. I love roller coasters, but this one was not the kind I would get on voluntarily. We don't have a choice. We are on it. Even the strongest systems of this world are very shaky. And most can only make it through another day because God is holding them together. He is doing this for our sakes, so we should not stop praying for them. He begins to talk about a glistening train. In the vision, there was a platform at the end of this roller coaster ride. It did not look any stronger than the roller coaster, but as we walked across, it became stronger and stronger. On the other side, there was a beautiful, brilliantly glistening train, which we boarded. It was the most beautiful and well-appointed train I've ever seen. However, as I boarded, I saw that when it left the platform, it would enter a long, dark tunnel that I could not see the end of. Even so, the tunnel was going up, and this was a powerful mountain-climbing train. We're going up. It may be dark and a bit scary for a while, but we are going higher. That was the end of this vision.
That's amazing. That is so amazing, because that's what the Lord has just been laying on our heart, that that you got to go through this to get there.
Yeah.
And what happens is those kind of moments give us the alignment. It brings us back into alignment on the tracks, you know, getting back on the track again. As a matter of fact, it makes me think of how the Lord spoke to Steve. He was telling me how the Lord gave him a vision about how to get things back on track again. God will speak to you about getting things back on track again. And he talks about, too, a train often speaks of training in dreams and visions. So there's training involved. Mm. I mean, you quite often think about that, you know, you're always thinking, okay, well, I know everything I need to know. Let's do this thing. And the truth is, as disciples, what we do is we learn. That's what a true disciple is. We're constantly learning. And in our process of learning, other people learn through our process of learning. And then when they learn, other people learn. But it's not like all of a sudden you retain all this knowledge and now you're just going to pour it all out and you know everything. Is that there may be things that you do know that you share with others, but you're constantly learning. And that's a sign of humility and the reality that you're not God. And he talks about it. You know, it's about equipping the saints in Ephesians chapter 4, that when the harvest comes in, that obviously you got to train the harvest. The brand's spanking new. That means like a baby brand new. And it's a city that God is building. Mm. And it's a city not built with human hands. You think about the New Jerusalem spoken about in the book of Revelation, that this is exciting days. Understand, God's going to have a victorious church. It's sort of like a father saying to his family, says, listen, this house is going to be straightened out.
That's right.
Just in case you're wondering if it's not going to be straight, it's going to be straightened out, and that can mean many different things. But you know, whatever that father is saying, if he is a healthy father, that it's going to be straightened out when he finishes.
Mm-hmm.
And or a parent would say that in the context of that. Well, God is very healthy. He knows if he says this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. And we're beginning to see that. It makes me think also about this apple prophecy. And you have that there as well, if you could pull that up over there, because I want you to see that. And this is exciting, because when I was preparing for our leadership gathering, coming together, and that as I was preparing for the gathering, there, that it was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was so amazing that... God was speaking to me. God was speaking to me about how he's preparing us for this day, and he's trained us up for a day such as this. And it's always about the next generation. Sad to say, you know, that we have to be delivered from narcissism and idolatry, because today's church, you know, has that dilemma of the self. You know, it's all about self and me and you know,
idolatry.
And to the point where not only do we not want to have any spiritual children and share the gospel with others, but we don't even want to have any natural children. And so God's going to deliver us from that we're going to find joy again in family and fathering and mothering his offspring. He says, you know, he's not unjust. He says, he will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and you continue to help them, no matter what the world says. When you help God's people, God is pleased with that. And when you continue to help them, that's loving him. Mm-hmm. That's how you love God. And so when people convince you that you shouldn't be helping God's folks, what they're doing is they're trying to keep you from loving God. And so as I'm preparing for the leaders coming in, you know, God, what are you saying? You're saying so much. What do we need to talk about? And for ever since the after Christmas, And up until the gathering that just took place, that I just had this hunger, this desire for apples. I didn't know why. I'm not like this healthy necessary eater. And Donna brought some apples. They were like green apples, and they were not that good. But I sat here and I was peeling these apples up, and I don't necessarily cook all the time. Okay, anytime.
Ever.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I used to when I had time. Anyway, so so I'm peeling these apples and I'm gonna make an apple crisp. And I didn't know how the recipe for apple crisp. And so I made I don't know, about 3 or 4 pounds of apples. I thought they were going to kind of go down, melt down or something, but they didn't. They were still there, dominant. But then I ate those, and it's like I put sugar on them, try to make them sweet or whatever, and it just wouldn't come through. As a matter of fact, it lasted all the way to the gathering in the beginning of 2014. And so here I am, you know, and then all of a sudden I said, you got to get some of those delicious apples, those red delicious apples. That's what I need. And I just started eating apples for breakfast, and apples, and that is not, you know, for you, it's a normal thing. That's why he stays so slim and fit.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. Apples don't work. Anyway, so they, and so, but I had this apple on my desk. You know, I could see, you know, I have this dark chocolate candy bar that Steve got me sitting there. You never know, break something off.
One should I eat?
I have those Nutri-Grain protein peanut butter type things sitting there, maybe. But I don't have an apple on my desk. But I just put this apple on there, and I'm passing by, you know, back and forth throughout the days. And I'm looking at this apple just thinking, that is so peculiar for me to have an apple on my desk. But I just kind of like, this guy was speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, as I'm preparing on January the 7th for the gathering that's coming together on the 9th, I guess, right? Yeah. The 9th, that this word is spoken out by Bob Jones about this year, 2014, being the year of the apple. And I'm like, oh my goodness. As a matter of fact, John, can you read this word? So that came right in the middle of preparation. It just so encouraged us when we heard this word.
Vision of the apple tree. While in a time of praise, Bob saw an apple tree in full bloom. As he prayed for understanding, the Lord revealed to him that many people have been in the bud. They have been waiting on promises that go back many, many years. Now the Lord is saying that before the apple tree blooms in the spring, their buds shall bloom. Although some of them are ancient promises, they will bloom in the spring before the apple tree does, and they will begin producing the fruit of righteousness. Peacemakers bloom. In the fruit of the spirit of prophecy, the apple represents peace. Therefore, this means that a lot of peacemakers shall bloom or come into their divine calling by this spring, and they will bring forth the fruit that God has called them to bear. So get ready for the peacemakers to come forth with the fruit of God and reveal the Son of Peace to the world. The peacemakers that are coming forth in this next season are those who can make peace between the human soul and the Father. As they reveal the Father's love to the human soul, it will bring stability to the body in every way. Through the administration of these peacemakers, first and foremost, they will bring man's soul into the place where it can enter into the peace of God. And this peace is beyond all human understanding. They will also enter the love of God, which will create the fruit that he wants produced in the body now. This is literally the beginning of the fruit that needed for the harvest. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount and guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. Peace beyond understanding is what God is offering us. Unfortunately, much of the body has seen the Father from a wrong perspective. They see him as the cruel master and judge instead of being the God of love and justice. 95% of the body of Christ thinks that the Father is the judge that is squashing them all the time. They accuse the Father of bringing calamity in traumatic situations where, in fact, it is Satan. The Father simply removes his hand where he is no longer welcome. But now we will begin to see him as he really is. Love. And love beyond any expectation of love. When we have peace and the Father, then the bloom will begin to turn into fruit. And this fruit will begin to come forth this year, yielding more next year, and even more the following year.
This is so exciting. There's so much more to this word, and you got to be able to see it on the VFN torch. But this is the year. I mean, think about it. God was already speaking to me about it. We was preparing for this gathering. You know, God, what are you saying as we prepare for 2014? And it's the year. And I think about, you know, Brother Kilpatrick, spiritual father to me, his word that he gave about the very same thing when he God was saying specifically that I want the VFN Dream Center and the VFN TV studios to be located in the region that it is because I'm about to do something. Mm. And he talked about buds and blooming and that type of thing. So in the midst of this roller coaster ride, I want to encourage you, understand, trust God and realize, you know, this fruit is going to be the fruit of right standing with God, us getting back in this right place with God, to have be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Get connected and rightly related for those who have a vision and are hearing from God so you can be a part of what's happening, what's taking place, to eat this fruit that God is birthing, because good things are going to take place in 2014. It's going to be the best of times, and it's going to be roller coaster rides, but it's going to end, as Rick Joyner said, on a high place. It's going to take us on a journey, but if you understand, if you looked around, it's going to take a journey to get us all back, you know, back up under the Father's leadership again. But hold on and believe for good things. This is the year the apple will bloom.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see. Yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody. Yeah, and as a pastor, or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. And let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light That's L-I-G-H-T Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. We welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I'm so sorry to hear your team lost. It's so sad, but it's not the first time.
I think we talked about that already.
No, not this program. No, we have. That was like the earlier loss.
So we're running reruns previous, already?
It was a pain. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's understand.
It's just a game. Take it personal.
It is just a game.
Didn't bother me a bit.
Really? It's his face.
It couldn't because it happened so many times. You know what I'm saying? This is unusual.
That's
we're
right.
In this like a, you know, Drew, I love you, man. Don't chase me down. Don't chase me down. As a matter of fact, I'll take season tickets. That'd be great. You're going to quit playing on Sunday. What's
I
up with that?
What
happened with that? You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to close down the NFL just so we can have church on Sundays in the stadiums and y'all can start having them on Saturday.
There you go.
As a matter of fact, that might be coming soon.
Hey,
prophetically. About that. If you move it to Saturday, hey, maybe there's a chance.
We have a segment on the torch.
There, maybe there's a chance. If you move it to Saturday and don't make it a thing of worship or a day of worship, you know, we've, you know, finally got pot free from, you know, all that. And, you know, move it on Saturday. Move it on Saturday. And I mean, what a Saturday.
Why
would it have to be on Sunday? And not that any particular day, but that's traditionally in regards to America. That's when the church is gathering together. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but I was just shocked when I watched the news of this minister in California.
I wasn't going to go there, but I saw that.
You saw that, you know, and he got up there and gave a 1 minute sermon.
Yeah.
He gave a 1 minute sermon. He had his flowing white robe on and his cross thing on and long flowing cross. And he said, if you need forgiveness, you got it. If you need something to eat, we got a table set up here. He's talking about communion and cranked off a couple other things, then ripped his robe and had inside of his robe had a Saints. No, not a Saints, but a 49ers. In there, and he left, I guess, to go watch the game. And it's like leaving God.
Wow.
1 minute sermon.
Leaving capital G God for small G God.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't make sports your God. And it's amazing. People are fighting in the streets over a losing team. And it's like, have that passion for God. Have that passion. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that your God? Has sports become your God? Do you know more about statistics than you do about Leviticus? I mean, according to George Barner's statistics about America and the church in America, that 81% of regular church attenders or people that profess to be Christians don't even pick up their Bible at all. And those that do, only 3% learn it in a way that said, this is how I'm going to live my life by that, which is 97%. I'm not concerned about the context of it. But I don't know if you've seen the church lately, but they know the stats when it comes to sports. And there's nothing, sports is not wrong unless you made it your God.
Right.
It's very wrong, by the way. I don't care what it is, soccer or football or basketball or
baseball
or John Badminton in the thing. that's serious stuff. Table tennis.
We get vicious in putt-putt golf here.
You what? In putt-putt golf, that, you know, he don't mind us doing these things, but if you make it your God, if you know more about the scores and the titles and the teams, I mean, there's people got tattoos of every team member, not understanding these team members are not that dedicated to the team. They're dedicated to the dollar because they're going to go to the next highest bidder.
I remember somebody telling me, I just can't clap. I'm just not a clapper. I said, man, I saw you jump around when they scored a touchdown. Now, wait
as
a minute.
Matter of fact, I did.
I saw your worship. Now, I saw that.
Actually, I was with a mother. I was with a mother, and her son was playing football, and we're all the way across the center of the football field, and from the other side is huge field. And my goodness, it was like, I think the people's hair on the other side was kind of going backwards right there, and of course. It was brought up at a church gathering, that particular situation. She says, I knew I was going to be confronted with that. I was like, oh, my goodness. And think about it. I mean, that's what heaven is filled with, worship. And I think about, really seriously, though, when I think about Drew Brees could have went anywhere. But when he saw the pain, the devastation, according to his testimony, he chose New Orleans at a real tough time. So he did not choose the dollar. I mean, understand the dollar wasn't there at that time, I don't believe. And in New Orleans, he was there during that with this with his coach, and they kind of took it there. But his testimony is, mm-hmm. when I saw the pain, he said to his wife, "This is where we belong. Mm-hmm. We belong in this city." So the truth is, not all players are Dennis Rodman.
My gosh.
But if he was the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints,
oh my goodness, which team would appear?
Well, we're going to wait for that. If he was quarterback for the New Orleans Saints,
who?
Dennis Rodman.
I'd switch teams.
Oh, that's hallelujah!
Huge.
Yes.
Oh,
the Lord reigns.
Goodness.
The Lord reigns. Lord reigns.
I would have to leave.
This is huge. I'm so proud of you. I
feel defining
so
moment.
Moved. I'm kerplumped. Is that what? Right? I'm kerplumped. I don't know what to do. Listen, I don't know if you heard about the crisis taking place in West Virginia, but it's very tragic. Over, I think, 1,500, 1,700 gallons of toxin has been dropped into the waters out there in West Virginia. Listen to this report from CBN News.
Well, once again today, hundreds of thousands of people in West Virginia have not been able to use the tap water in their own homes. They've been without it for 5 days after a chemical leaked into the water supply. Hopefully, the worst will soon be over and people will be able to get water back in the next few days. George Thomas has the story.
After 5 anxious days without clean water, 300,000 West Virginians are hearing some encouraging news for the first time.
I believe that we're at a point where we could say that we see light at the end of the tunnel.
The state's governor says hundreds of tests of the drinking water being done in 9 counties, including Charleston, are showing positive signs. But people are still being told not to drink or bathe in the water just yet.
The crisis started last Thursday when about 7,500 gallons of a toxic chemical spilled into the Elk River, contaminating the water supply in the heart of the state.
I have 3 babies. They're 5, 6, and 8. We're bathing them out of a sink.
Downtown Charleston is a ghost town. Most businesses and schools are closed. Meanwhile, disaster relief teams from Operation Blessing are on the scene. They deployed a mobile shower unit with fresh water so first responders can clean up.
Well, it's great that the shower trailer was brought in by Operation Blessing. For them to be able to take a hot shower is probably one of those things you could actually list right now under priceless.
A second shower trailer is on the way to Charleston. And today, Operation Blessing is also delivering thousands of bottles of drinking water and meals to families affected.
Hopefully within the days to come, things will change and the water situation will improve.
And to help out Operation Blessing and their longtime ministry partner, the Union Mission of Charleston, will be doing a major water distribution outreach for the residents of the city. George Thomas, CBN News.
This is amazing. If you want to give to Operation Blessing, you can go to VFNTV.com, click on links at the menu at the top, and it'll take you right to an option to be able to choose Operation Blessing. Showers coming from the 5 hurricanes that hit the southeast. 1 year, let me tell you, there's nothing more precious than a shower. One lady's having to melt ice. She said that she went and tried to find water, couldn't find any water, and she was left to actually having to buy ice and melt it to be able to provide water for her children. And this is just a short period of time. It shows you 300,000 people, John.
Wow.
300,000 people. And we have this assumption, the assumption that men take care of us, that men protect us, and that we, if we're robbing from God, for example, we're saying we're the ones doing this thing, and that God's not God, and he's not the one taking care of and doing all this, and he is. We're so fragile that within a day, all the water was shut down.
Wow.
In one day, and the Lord's been laid on our heart, you know, what does it look like when you can't trust the water anymore? And that was the word that we gave some time back. It's not the fact that once they put doubt over your drinking water and you love your family and you love your friends, I mean, you're not going to drink it.
Yeah.
You're just not going to drink it. And how vulnerable are we then if a chemical company can have a leak in their chemical storage bin that pours into the water system that affects 300,000 folks? And the run on the store and all the shelves are empty. We've been talking about prudent preparation, whether this was intended or not. And I just think I just think that, you know, we don't want God to pull his hand back from our country, but it just almost, you see all these things going on. It's almost like he's lifting a finger, he's lifting another finger, you know, letting us feel what it was like to be, to have, not have him protecting us, because this is something that went on for quite some time. The reports are that they haven't been inspected for quite a few years because they are the ones that are storing it, not the ones creating the chemical. But knowing this, that it sure fits into the narrative to even take us down more as a nation, because it's coming against the coal industry.
Mm-hmm.
And coal is where we get, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you get electricity, people say, I can't believe those olden days when they give a piece of coal away for Christmas. Or I look at the, you know, in the 70s, mind you, 60s and 70s, that churches would not only give out food, but they would give out coal.
Really?
Yeah, because that's what you burn for heat and all. Well, your local power company still burns coal. They just have a long extension cord that goes to your house. That's still the reality in America. Coal is the biggest form of energy. They have clean coal technologies. As a matter of fact, I know a particular man that invented way to have clean burning coal in regards to his technology that he invented. Came pretty wealthy off that. His name's, anyway, so, but whether it was intended or not, it plays right into the narrative of, so let's just get rid of our coal technology and how will we have energy sources?
Mm.
I mean, think about it, because that could just go right into some, because they were saying, listen, coal is dangerous and coal mm-hmm. is all that. Why they were standing under lights ran by coal.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Why they were actually riding in cars that was built by lighting and energy that produced that car by coal.
Mm-hmm.
Why they flew in planes that was created because coal provided energy for the tools and all that kind of stuff. And it's like somebody says, well, that doesn't make sense. It makes sense if you're looking at a nation being humbled.
Mm.
It makes sense. And we have a little window of what it would look like suddenly if the aquifers in New York had doubt put over them, or the Colorado River that feeds in all everything wow. west mm-hmm. had doubt put over it. And what it had was some sort of sulfur smell to it. And so you could almost, people could put a smell in there. That smell creates doubt. And they're saying right now, by the way, they said that they've got it to a point where you can actually drink from it, but it still smells. And so the journalist puts the camera in his face, and it reminds me of the movie Jaws, when they said, well, you're going to go swimming?
Yeah.
This is what he said to him. He says, to the mayor, he says, will you drink a glass of water in front of everybody? And he goes, the day that I know that it's clean, I will. And just all it takes is just doubt over something. And our water, understand, our water is not in some Walmart somewhere. It's in the ground.
Mm.
It's in the ground. That's where water comes from. It comes from these aquifers and these lakes and all that. And they're very vulnerable. But let me tell you something. Our God, who provides the rain, will provide protection for that water if we will honor him in our lives and in our nation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday mm-hmm. because God just filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg. Vision that God gave me regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill. And it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time. Because listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer, but we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
Here we are. Yes, VFNTV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. amazing thing because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. Pat, I had a chance to go to my doctor, yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bring up the name or the practice. And they, when you go in there, they give you these forms now. They give you these forms on clipboards. And it's like, there's a day, I will never forget when we, by the way, there was a time when we didn't have self-service gas. You pull up to a gas station and people will put gas in your car. And this, yeah. So they started having little stores open up with self-service.
They still do that in the north. Yeah.
Well, I know. There's a reason
gas.
Why they do.
Okay.
Everybody's scared to get out of the car. They crack the windows. They give me five. You just want a gallon, huh? Anyway, so you pulled up to a gas station way back when, and they'd put gas in your car, and they started opening up these self-service here and there, just very few. And people would go, that's never going to work. That's just never going to work. And of course, now we're all, you have women getting out in like ball gowns standing by her car, holding her nozzle. And that's not a strange sight that people have never seen, not having self-service. But there was a day that a lady was honored when she pulled up to the gas station because the men would come out and shine her windshield and check her oil and thank her for her business. And it was just real cool. Mm-hmm. It was real neat how that happened. Well, that's how the doctor's offices are now. I mean, I went to this doctor's office and they gave me the clerk's work. I mean, I had this like 3-page form back in front, all these questions, you know, what ratio of improvement have you had since the last time you visited based on the left quadrant part of your body? I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? This feels like a final exam in the university or something. And wow. So I'm working my way through it. I'm fighting, you know, oppression. I'm getting it. Finally, I get this paperwork done. I'm thinking like, how much are they paying you, lady? I mean, you're not even doing this. You should ask these questions for us.
You get a tip.
You get a tip or whatever, you know, your ratio. You have to give ratios. How much have you proved percentage-wise from the last time you're here? I don't know, 27% I'm better? I don't know. And so anyway, I think I finally passed that, and I leave this older man, and he's still like on page one of that stuff. I looked at him. I said, hold in there, man. You could do this thing. Because I know what was going through his thought was self-service gas would never work. Anyway, so here I am. They take me to this room. You're thinking, man, this is cool. I'm going to be taken care of. They called me out. I felt bad leaving the older man in this particular waiting room, but, you know, you have to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. They take me to a little small room, maybe, I don't know, nothing by nothing. And they said, doctor will be right with you. And then they close the door. And I thought, oh my goodness.
And an hour later.
I'm telling you, it was like the walls were closing in. I remember in the sheriff's department, we used to take people and put them in isolation. And we put them all by themselves when they would do stuff wrong in the jail. So, and I'm like, this is isolation. There is no video. There's no outside thing. There's not a phone hanging. Luckily, I had my phone, and I told the doctor when he finally got in there about 3 days later, I said, listen, man, this is like isolation. If I didn't have my phone to be able to call my family and reconnect with them on the outside, I wouldn't know what was happening here. This is a long time. We need something in touch with the outside world by your patients. Of course, he looked at me, and he said, so what percentage are you better now that you are?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John.
Don't forget, it's four programs back to back, and we just carry on this conversation about understanding prophetic perspective, understanding not only the news, but God's news behind the news. You know, it's not enough to just sit there and listen to one broadcast after another broadcast, and you're not doing anything with it. It's going to defeat you. It's going to defeat you because you can only take so much of that till finally you just turn your head from it. The thing about it, you can overview something and see, okay, this is the spirit that's in the land. This is what's taking place. And as we're seeing again right there, this is breaking news. This moment in New Mexico, there's another school shooting taking place.
Yep.
And you think, what is happening here? If you could pull that up for me.
I got it.
You know, what has taken place? You know, what has taken place? This is what's taken place, is that we as a nation have turned our back on God in our original temple. You know what we can do? We can turn back to God.
Mm.
We can turn back to the Lord and understand that my goodness, just 6 minutes ago, they're reporting on CNN News that two children were taken to the hospital after a report of a shooting in, what's the name of the school? Orindo Middle School in Roswell, New Mexico, a spokeswoman said, from the hospital there. So we want to keep them in our prayers. But understand this, if we're taking God out of the Air Force, we're taking God out of the military, we're taking Bibles and the Christian viewpoint out of so many different things. We're keeping Jesus in jail over here in Iran. We're promoting anti-Jesus Christ beliefs. You know, in Islam, we are embracing the Muslim Brotherhood. We have left all moorings that we had for our country. We are talking about, you know, what do you think is going to happen? This is what the Word of God says. It says, if you don't turn your hearts to them, they will turn their guns to you. And understand that it's turning our hearts to God. When we turn our hearts to God, He empowers us to turn our hearts to each other. But if you don't do that, if you don't get God's perspective on life in general and His mercy and His grace, it's almost impossible for you in your own strength to have a compassion for people who are struggling with responding to oppression and every single day in the midst, right after the Navy Yard shooting in Washington, Xbox, PlayStation, who was that?
Yeah, one of those video games.
They sold like $1 billion worth of the game the next day.
Yeah, it was Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto the next day. And it's like, what do you think is going to happen? You know, recently we had the opportunity to have a fire, bonfire. And when you put gas on the fire, this is what happened. It got hotter.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, we're just pouring gas on everything. And like it or not, our leadership is this. You know, all I could think is this. Maybe, you know, the transformation fact is, let's just burn this and then get a new thing.
Hmm.
Because what we're doing now is just destroying the original tent of our nation. We're destroying parenthood and the family and the biblical foundational principles of our nation, Constitution. It's like, we got to wake up. Because if you read the Constitution, it's not a bad idea.
Hmm.
God's Constitution, the Bible, and also the Constitution of America, that we have rights. We actually have rights. Everybody has these civil rights. And one is that you have a right to protect yourself, defend yourself, and to speak out. And the government doesn't have these rights. People have these rights. And the government's purpose is to protect those rights, not to demand rights. Government doesn't have rights. People have rights. People have rights. And right now we're seeing it's almost like the government becomes an individual, and it's representing itself, and it's representing its agendas, and all. It's like, that's not the original intent of this nation. As a matter of fact, it even goes to the point that when, in fact, the government ceases to fulfill its requirement, that it's okay to actually have another one. Reboot and do a different form of government to be able to protect, because it's all about a government by the people and for the people. If we keep going this direction and this roller coaster ride, I really believe that we're going to get turned over to ourselves for a season, which is going to help us understand, oh, that don't work. Government can't protect us from that aspect of it, which is going to bring up, and one of the reporters on CNN News or ABC News made a statement recently that historically, based on the way things happen with presidential races and all that, that a conservative probably will be elected to the next president of the United States, more of a conservative viewpoint of saying, you know, that the Constitution's actually a good thing. The founding principles is a good thing. Human rights are a good thing. You know, all these type of things. Mm-hmm. Small government's a good thing. But if you haven't noticed yet, there's nothing typical about the seasons we're in. There's nothing typical about the season that we're in. When you have folks out there that are openly not telling truths, openly doing things that pour gas to make things worse, gas on the fire, if you would. And the media says nothing. They say nothing about it all. Then all of a sudden, some governor up in New Jersey, over in New Jersey, or his people decide to stop some traffic, and the whole world talks about traffic. Then how did he know or did he not know? It's like, what about the entire Congress and the Senate and the executive branch and the judiciary branch? Why don't you ask those same questions to the leadership? It's so one-sided.
Your mouth is not broken.
Yeah, it's like, it's so obvious. It is so obvious. And it's like, wake up. We have to say, dear God, forgive us, heal us, bring us back to sanity again. You know, help us see that your way is a better way. Don't buy into the media circus that's going on. You just, sad to say, I mean, they don't keep secrets. They're just kind of like, they're kind of out there with saying, this is just the way it is. You know, they're going to just kind of push their agenda and that type of thing. And maybe that's why the Lord wanted us to come up on VFN TV, VFN Radio, mm-hmm. to be able, and Christian Television Network, just to have a God perspective. Because where can you find a God perspective? You know, you just really can't find them. Every now and then something will pop up, but this 24-hour news cycle, you need to be able to say, you know, we need to hear a prophetic word from God, a now word. And that's what we're able to do by God's grace, is we spend time on a daily basis just going after God and hearing what he says and looking at what's taking place. We're not burying our head in the sand of denial, but it's like, God, what does this mean? What do we do? And remember this, our God is God. Our God has a people, and he will gather to himself a people. He will reserve for himself a people for the purpose of bringing a mass number of people to him so that he can show forth his mercy and his grace and just pour out forgiveness and restore us. Sometimes he just does that because he's always good. But know this, he has a way to bring us back to him. He has a way. And I believe, I like what Yolanda Dupree recently said to me, that, you know, God had predestined America, has a plan for us to be able to play. And I'm just going to hold on to that word and just believe, you know what? I believe that. We've seen it. We just got to wake up and get back to our original state again. Dear God, have mercy on America. Protect these children who have been shot over New Mexico, God. Forgive us where we've sinned against you. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.